Welcome again to Vespers. Sometimes our faith calls upon us in worship to remember and contemplate and meditate on really hard things. Tonight is one of those times. Today is August 6th. 64 years ago today, the world entered the atomic age when the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. The words that are part of the reading today will be from John Hersey's classic account called Hiroshima and from Dr. King's acceptance speech of the Nobel Peace Prize. So tonight at Holden, we're joining Christians and Buddhists in the United States and Japan and throughout the world in remembering that fateful day. It was exactly 15 minutes past 8 o'clock in the morning on August 6, 1945, Japanese time, when the atomic bomb flashed above Hiroshima. Hiroshima was a city of 245,000 people. Within the first minute, nearly 100,000 people had died, killed in the first flash. Over the next days and weeks, another 100,000 lingered near death, severe suffering. The atomic age was born. Humankind was changed forever as we discovered the awesome power to self-destruct.
Just as Miss Sasaki turned her head away from the windows, the room was filled with a blinding light. She was paralyzed by fear, still fixed in her chair for a long moment. The plant was 1,600 yards from the center of the explosion. Everything fell, and Miss Sasaki lost consciousness. The ceiling dropped suddenly, and the wooden floor above collapsed in splinters, and the people up there came down, and the roof above them gave way. But principally and first of all, the bookcases, right behind her, swooped forward, and the contents threw her down, with her left leg horribly twisted and breaking underneath her. There, in the tin factory, in the first moment of the atomic age, a human being was crushed by books.
After the terrible flash, which Father Kleinsorge later realized reminded him of something he had read as a boy about a large meteor colliding with the Earth, he had time for one thought. A bomb had fallen directly on us. Then for a few seconds or minutes, he went out of his mind. Father Kleinsorge never knew how he got out of the house. The next things he was conscious of were that he was wandering around in the mission's vegetable garden in his underwear, bleeding slightly from small cuts along his left flank, that all the buildings round him had fallen down except the Jesuits' mission house, which had long before been braced and double-braced by a priest who was terrified of earthquakes, that the day had turned dark, and that Murata-san, the housekeeper, was nearby, crying over and over, Shu Yesusu, aware mitamai. Our Lord Jesus, have pity on us.
Mr. Tanimoto, fearful for his family and church, at first ran toward them by the shortest route along Koi Highway. He was the only person making his way into the city. He met hundreds and hundreds who were fleeing, and every one of them seemed to be hurt in some way. The eyebrows of some were burned off, and skin hung from their faces and hands. Others, because of pain, held their arms up as if carrying something in both hands. Some were vomiting as they walked. Many were naked or in shreds of clothing. On some undressed bodies, the burns had made patterns of undershirt straps and suspenders. On the skin of some women, since white repelled the heat from the bomb and dark clothes absorbed it and conducted it to the skin, the shapes of flowers they had on their kimonos. Many, although injured themselves, supported relatives who were worse off. Almost all had their heads bowed, looked straight ahead, were silent, and showed no expression whatever.
The street was cluttered with parts of houses that had slid into it, and with fallen telephone poles and wires. From every second or third house came the voices of people buried and abandoned, who invariably screamed with formal politeness, "Tasuke te kure," help if you please. The priest recognized several ruins from which these cries came as the homes of friends, but because of the fire, it was too late to help.
Hear the words of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as he accepted the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964. "I refuse to accept the cynical notion that nation after nation must spiral down a militaristic stairway into a hell of thermonuclear destruction. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. That is why right temporarily defeated is stronger than evil triumphant. I believe that even amid today's martyr bursts and whining bullets, there is still a hope for a brighter tomorrow. I believe that wounded justice, lying prostrate on the blood-flowing streets of our nations, can be lifted from this dust of shame to reign supreme among the children of human beings. I have the audacity to believe that peoples everywhere can have three meals a day for their bodies, education and culture for their minds, and dignity, equality, and freedom for their spirits. I believe that what self-centered people have torn down, people who are other-centered can build up. I still believe that one day humankind will bow before the altars of God and be crowned triumphant over war and bloodshed, and that nonviolent redemptive good will proclaim the rule of the land and and the lion and the lamb shall lie down together. And every people shall sit under his own vine and fig tree, and none shall be afraid. I still believe that we shall overcome. Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, cure your children's warring madness. Bond our pride to your control. Shine the light of your wisdom in all of the places of conflict on this earth. Guide our leaders into paths of mutual respect and understanding. Use every one of us, dear God, your fragile clay vessels, as faithful carriers of your message of peace and justice. We pray in the name of the one who blessed the peacemakers. Lead your creation into peace. Lead us, Jesus. Amen. light of Christ shine through the darkness. Let us go forth from this place as powerful messengers of peace. So go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.